Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scover, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable.
Next up, we select our final passages for Tarzan of the Apes by Edgar Rice Burroughs, and we go back to Sula by Toni Morrison and select the final passage from that book, too, for our 2021 NICE project.
We will move on to Tarzan of the Apes by Edgar Rice Burroughs. Now, this book was hard for me to get quotes for because I could quote entire pages of this book I love so much, but you know, let's be real, we have to have manageable quotes. So we have some good quotes that I think we can use in podcasts talking about other parts of the book, whatever. But our highlighted ones were, I think, pretty good quotes. We got some pretty good ones.
One that has stuck with me, and I think that I liked it, you liked it. I liked it so much I put it in there like 3 or 4 times in my notes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. By accident.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
It's the passage that includes that man alone among all creatures kills senselessly for the mere pleasure of inflicting suffering and death. And we yeah. had it in there at different lengths. You know, sometimes we have it 2 paragraphs, 1 paragraph, but I like loved that line.
Yeah, I think I'm going to read the longer version of it real quickly. It's not mm-hmm. that long, but it gives context. Tarzan of the Apes was no sentimentalist. He knew nothing of the brotherhood of man. All things outside his own tribe were his deadly enemies, with the few exceptions of which Tantor the elephant was a marked example. And he realized all this without malice or hatred. To kill was the law of the wild world he knew. Few were his primitive pleasures, but the greatest of these was to hunt and kill, and so he accorded to others the right to cherish the same desires as he, even though he himself might be the object of their hunt. His strange life had left him neither morose nor bloodthirsty. That he joyed in killing, and that he killed with a joyous laugh upon his handsome lips, betokened no innate cruelty. He killed for food most often, but, being a man, he sometimes killed for pleasure, a thing which no other animal does, for it has remained for man alone among all creatures to kill senselessly and wantonly for the mere pleasure of inflicting suffering and death. And when he killed for revenge or in self-defense, he did that also without hysteria, for it was a very businesslike proceeding which admitted of no levity. Mm-hmm. I like that quote because I think it is important in the modern context as well of, you know, our violence of our against our fellow humans. And I feel like it gives a lot of Tarzan of the Apes and Edgar Rice Burroughs. I mean, he wrote a book that is full of false science. I mean, we will be talking about in depth about the false scientific premises in this book. But there is something in this passage that kind of goes along with that. And it's this idea that, you know, killing is business-like, that it's not emotional in the animal kingdom is what I'm trying to say. Now, that is, I don't know if science has actually decided that that's true or not, but that's certainly what Edgar Rice Burroughs is trying to say, is that this remarkable human man who was raised in the jungle alone, no other humans, just the animals, you know, he doesn't even run into African tribes until he's a grown-up, right? He's all alone with the animals, and so his idea of killing is animalistic. It's for food, it's for defense, it's not for pleasure, it's businesslike. And you know, and yet, because he's a man, he takes pleasure in the conquest, in the hunt, in the kill, even if it's for food. So there's some, you know, false science in here. There's some craziness in Edgar Rice Burroughs' you know, ideas about the animal world and the human world. But I think it's interesting. And, you know, he is, you know, that phrase, "for it has remained for man alone among all creatures to kill senselessly and wantonly for the mere pleasure of inflicting suffering and death." I mean, you can't argue that that's not still true today if you want to say that's a, I don't, we won't call it science. I don't, we want to say it's remain man alone. Again, I'm not going to speak for all of the animal kingdom, but I think that that certainly could be discussed in terms of modern realities and the, you know, bad things people do to each other. So I do like that one. I do like right. that one a lot.
Yeah, of all the Tarzan quotes, that's my favorite. But do you have another one that's rising to the top?
I have one that I think people will kind of respond to simply because it's permutated into pop culture because of the earlier movies, particularly the Johnny Weissmuller movie of the 1930s. I want to say, might have been the 20s. And it's a quote from Tarzan, but he's written it in a note. He doesn't say these words out loud, which in the film, of course, you know, he says it out loud and it's in a different way, but I'll read it because I think people will understand what I'm talking about. This is the quote. "I am Tarzan of the Apes. I want you. I am yours. You are mine. We live here together always in my house. I will bring you the best of fruits, the tenderest deer, the finest meats that roam the jungle. I will hunt for you. I am the greatest of the jungle fighters. I will fight for you. I'm the mightiest of the jungle fighters. You are Jane Porter. I saw it in your letter. When you see this, you will know that it is for you and that Tarzan of the Apes loves you." This is me, Tarzan, you, Jane, from the movie, right? I mean, this is iconic. This has become something more than what it is in the book, in this quote. But one of the things that I think is so fascinating about this quote is that, you know, you could take this quote and rewrite it in modern parlance as, you know, what do you call it when you're trying to, the pickup line. I mean, this, you know, "I am the greatest of the jungle fighters," you know, this is Saturday Night Fever. This is the John Travolta character being the sexy dancer, right? He's the sexiest dancer out there on the dance floor. I mean, that's what this is. This is,
yeah, we have
me man, you woman, I want you, you're mine. You know, I mean, you know, this is something that I think has a little bit of humor. We could find some humor in it, but it also is so like iconic in terms of gender, you know, power plays. I don't know how else to call it, but that sexual attraction, and how do you convince that person you're sexually attracted to that you're the one? Mm-hmm. Well, Tarzan wrote it in a note, and in the movie, it's me, Tarzan, you, Jane. And, you know, I don't know. Tony Romano, was that the character's name? I don't know why Saturday Night Fever came to mind, but I just got this image of John Travolta dancing, and I'm like, I'm the greatest jungle fighters. You know, I'm the greatest jungle dancer. I mean, I don't know. It's just so funny. So that's one that I think is a really, really good one. But you know, okay, I'm gonna be happy with pretty much
there when you said it was a pickup line.
I know. Well, I mean, but you know, it's someone trying to convince the object of his desire that they're meant to be. And so you also have that romantic meant to be kind of element to this. This is a very, in some ways it's laughable, in some ways it's very poignant. It's just, there's just a lot. And there's also kind of a sweet, you know, "We'll live together always in my house, and I'll bring you the best of the fruits. I'll provide for you. I'll take care of you. I'll protect you." There's something very sweet about that. Whether a man is saying it to a woman, or a woman is saying it to a man, or a man to a man, or a woman to a woman, there, if you love somebody, that's what you want to do for them. Mm-hmm. Even if you can't, or they don't need it, or they're perfectly fine taking care of themselves, part of you wants to take care of them in the ways that he's describing. And so I find this to be both beautiful, poignant, hilarious, you know, argumentative when you're talking about gender and stuff, you know, like, you know, I don't want this. This is not, you know, but me, Tarzan, you, Jane, I just love it. I just love it. I think it's really good.
Well, I think we have our winner.
Okay.
Let's do this one.
Be happy with that. And we could use some of our other great quotes in other contexts in our podcast, but this is a good one. And don't you think it stands alone? I mean, it does kind of stand alone. You get the gist. Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, I can't wait for the workshop on, okay, everybody write Tarzan style pickup lines.
I know, exactly. Or write the scenario. Like, is it on the disco dance floor, or, you know, where would you put this in your life today? Where, you know, this, what, you know, people, I'm I just turned 58, so I'm way too old for anything that has to do with cell phones. But I know that people have those dating apps and things where they swipe different directions. And I mean, what would it be if it was a dating app? You know, I mean, I don't know.
We just have two that we have to narrow down to one.
Oh, boy. For Sula, the hardest one. Oh, the hardest one.
Gosh, now that I've sat on it for a little bit longer, I think the one that's talking about how she feels during lovemaking has the most richness to it, even though I love the circles and circles of sorrow.
I agree. Yeah. I think we'll bring the circles and circles of sorrow into a conversation in the podcast, because some of the themes that we'll be talking about the books in general, you know, we usually find common themes or things that we want to compare and contrast thematically. And I think that quote will come in when we do that. I really do, because there's something about that quote that reflects some things in the other books, especially The Yellow Wallpaper. I think will come. I mean, the circles and circles and the wallpaper design and the kind of circular woman in the wallpaper, woman outside the wallpaper, woman in the wallpaper. I mean, there's something about that I think we're going to come back to. I don't know, just thinking.
And plus, I think we've avoided having things that were too dark for everyone.
Right, right.
So,
yeah. This quote from Sula does have the darkness in it. It has rage. It has, you know, a kind of a brokenness to it. It's in terms of the feminine, the female power, sexuality. I mean, there's a lot about this that is not in itself beautiful. It's just written so beautifully, you know. I think this is the best quote for us to pick, and if for no other reason is how often do we get to pick a quote about lovemaking from the female perspective that is anything like this? My goodness. I mean, I think this is tip top. So, yay. I think we've got all four of our quotes.
We did it.
We did it. Yay. The final four quotes. Oh, woohoo. Oh, man. Okay. So our audience out there, what you have to do is check our website and Facebook, whatever. We'll be putting these quotes up on our website. Again, we encourage you to read all the books, though, in their entirety, but you don't have to. And then we'll be talking about these quotes and the books and the authors in more detail in podcast episodes to come. So fear not. We're not going to leave you hanging. But, hey, start getting creative now. I mean, you know, start working on your projects that you might want to contribute to our final presentation, which probably will be a Zoom event, but it'll be very easy to share artwork and music and poetry and prose and anything you want to share in our event. It'll be fun. So, yeah, good.
Thanks for tuning in, folks.
Yeah. Until next time.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.